Hey everybody, welcome to a special edition of Radio KAL, my interview last week with Jeff Johns. I have a few caveats before it starts, the first one being there are noises in the background that you will hear. If you have any complaints about that, direct them at me. That's not Jeff Johns' fault. I got new equipment for this interview because of several problems capturing audio in the past, and it was super sensitive. I didn't expect that. So, I hope you enjoy it. Here you go, and if you have any comments, feel free to leave them in the talkback.
First question. Will Up, Up, and Away be your only Superman book for the near future?
I hope not. We'll see what happens.
Okay, you plan, is it a matter of you wanting to and not getting to, or is it a matter of just the schedule or some other factor?
I mean, my schedule is being scaled way back this year. I'm only working on a couple books, but there's some stuff to be announced. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
I'd love to do more.
Good deal.
I love Superman. He's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, well, people have been screaming for you to get to do it for years, especially over the email. You know, people will just say, when are you going to get Jeff Johns on this? And, you know, it's, when are you guys going to draft him kind of thing.
That's
so
cool. I love the character. I love his mythology, and I love what he represents. And, you know, Superman the movie is my favorite film. I'm extremely, you know, biased because I worked for Donner for so long. But it was
right.
my favorite film before I worked for him. And, you know, it still is. I don't know if anything will ever be able to beat it in my mind.
Good deal. Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of the fans are just like, I don't know, if Superman fans more than other fans, it would seem, but I might be biased work for the Superman homepage. They seem really geared up towards the continuity aspect of the character, and they like his complex history, and I think there are a few people that kind of get that, and I think you're one of them, so that's why they clamor so much. Okay, here's a... Lex Luthor went from being in his green and purple suit and taking names in Infinite Crisis to a businessman again over a year. So does this mean that Lex won't be battling with heroes on a weekly basis anymore, but will instead be kind of working behind the scenes a la the early Byrne years and the Wolfman stuff?
You will see kind of an amalgam of both.
Okay.
I don't want to completely reveal where we're taking Lex Luthor, but he will be an amalgam of both. He is definitely not going to be back to running LuxCorp. I will tell you that much.
Okay, that's cool. Let's see.
He did that for, you know, we had 20 years of those stories.
Oh yeah.
And they were great. And I think it's time for, you know, everybody, you know, in 20 years from now, maybe he'll be running LuxCorp. I don't know.
Well, that's part of what made the businessman Lex so that it actually moved the character forward, and that's what we're trying to do. That's part of my questions about how enmeshed you're Up, Up, and Away so far. I've only seen one issue. Is enmeshed in the continuity that was basically the Byrne stuff, and then it became, it seems like you're trying to set that base so that you can move forward from it without stepping on toes. It's kind of nice, but...
What we want to do is, there'll be a few bombs we'll drop in Superman's life, but again, I'm a firm believer of trying to look at what elements that work and what people have done that I like and people like, and building onto that and adding our own.
Nice.
Kurt and I were, I mean, look, if people enjoy the story and the idea of, you know, we introduced a new element from Krypton called Sunstone, which is the crystal technology. And we've named it, and that sticks around, I'll be happy.
Yeah, people kind of have referenced that and said it's kind of like the movie. Was the movie any inspiration for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I figured it was some kind of thing. Usually they kind of riff off of each other. Whenever something in popular culture comes out, the comic riffs off it a little bit and takes a little element. That's cool. Okay. The fight with Doomsday that killed Superman, in the first issue, it's mentioned as the last thing that happened to Superman before he lost his powers in kind of an ambiguous way. I saw that you kind of put in a purposeful writer's ambiguity where because it's a movie and because it's something that Lois and Clark are watching, it could be BS, but more than likely it has some grain of truth to it. So I guess I'm asking you directly, was Superman being killed by Doomsday the last thing that happened before he lost his powers, or is that something that you can't say because it ties into Infinite Crisis?
All I can say is keep reading, and it'll be very, very, very clear.
No problem. Was Lex Luthor still the president? Has that changed? Is that something you can comment on?
Many people believe he was still the president.
Okay. All right.
All I can say.
That's a good enough answer. I like the ambiguous answers that get people going. That's kind of cool. All right. Alex is supposed to be a good guy, meaning that he's from the reverse Earth, at least in continuity theory. by negating his good, or at least by making him a villain to our Earth, if you will, the not our Earth like you and me, but like as in the regular Superman, does that open the gates for, like, say, Ultraman to go to good, or is it, are the laws of the parallel Earth still unaffected, or is this kind of like the Earth, or the universe relationship is shifting, if you follow what I'm saying?
Well, you have to kind of look, like Alex said, you know, whenever you put a Superman and a Luthor next to each other, they will always be at odds.
Right, so it's more just a Superman-Luthor thing, and not just the nature of the universe changing.
I think there's just a few universal laws that just will always happen, and I think, you know, no matter what happens, Superman and Luthor, Luthor won't necessarily be evil, but he'll be at odds with what Superman wants. And, you know, to Alex, this is not evil. It's like planting a garden that's been overgrown with weeds, and he figures he has to replant his garden.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the debate is about. Like, even if Lex Luthor sees himself as good, or rather, Alex Luthor, I'm sorry, if he sees himself as good, and he's trying to do good, then that makes him a good guy, but if it's not good to everybody around him, you know, it spurs a lot of good debate.
It's a good debate.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, like, I mean, he even has a line in Crisis 7 where someone says, you know, why would you do this? And he says, I'm like my father, the only hero in a world of villains.
Yep. And that's about it, too. And that's part of the reason why the Infinite Crisis seems to be working with the fans so much, largely, is because you created what is essentially a sympathetic, and we had a big debate on that in the Kryptonian Council.
I think Superboy Prime is another example of a very simple character, complex villain.
Right. Well, and see, that's what's made it so good. You know, if you had come to me on the first issue and said, hey, is this going to work out? You've got three obscure characters from a bygone era. And what makes it work, and what I think a lot of writers tend to miss, and which is one of the reasons why I think that fans like you so much, is because it's about character. The character comes out, the character steps out, and if you write it well, you can make anybody interesting. And if you got these particular three characters across time and eras, it provides all kinds of parallels and questions. Huh?
Yeah, and I think that Superboy Prime in particular, first off being a super character with the S.
Yep.
And having him represent a different mindset, and putting him in the modern world, and having him be a little bit naive and a little bit inexperienced and a little bit very emotional about
right.
it, and angry and jaded. He's a complex, sympathetic, and scary all at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of like if our Superboy had not had any kind of guidance.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Okay, here's the tough one. Here's the one that I was kind of forced to ask. I kind of see the answer already, but
okay.
I got a lot of emails asking me to clarify what was meant by Superman hasn't inspired anyone since he died. I tried to explain it as a characterization of Batman in a moment of stress, but a lot of people take that as a personal attack on Superman, and some misconstrue say that you're saying that. How do you intend it?
Batman said it.
That's what I figured.
Batman said it, so, I mean, look, I wrote it, I think it's a really good line, because it's coming from Batman.
Right.
If Wonder Woman had said that, it wouldn't have worked.
Right, it might have been you saying it if Wonder Woman was saying it, because, and it's a writing choice that people don't get.
That's what you have to look at, is like, did I say the line? No, I didn't, but Batman did in the context of the story.
Right.
If I put that line in Wonder Woman's mouth, the scene would not have worked.
Right.
You would be like, what? No, what are you talking about? But
yeah.
Because Batman said it, you get it. Batman is, unfortunately, you know, at that time of duress, that's his way of telling Superman to get his shit together.
Yeah.
And that's not saying Batman doesn't have his own problems, but,
right.
You know, Batman always saw Superman as better than him.
Well, it's part of his team dynamic. Batman offers that hard-lined edge where you just basically say what someone's weakness is and you get them going so that they'll get the job done.
My favorite line in the entire series.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a spoiler kind of question. Dan Didio said that there would be no multiple Earths after the crisis as we know it after the crisis as we know them in a recent interview. Will there be multiple Earths that we don't know of? Like as in a new series of...
You know that.
Okay. Okay, and then following up on Dan's statement, will the Infinite Crisis bring anyone from the multiple Earths and the past back to our current Earth before they are somehow gone as we know them?
Possibly.
Okay. Where's Darkseid?
Busy.
Alright, good answer. When it is said that the Speed Force is gone, is that simply because there are no more speed-based flashes, or did it disappear with the disappearing of, say, Kid Flash?
It is gone.
Okay.
But not it is gone in the way we knew it.
Okay. Is that to imply that it will be returning in some form?
All I can say is it's gone the way we knew it.
Okay, gotcha. Let's see, here's... I always write these questions like essays, but... Anyway, your fan base is broad and growing due to years of giving the fans stories that they've been begging for, where you cut the hype and the stereotypical stories in favor of a decompressed look inside of continuity. The reason I mention that is because for years I've had people asking me when you were going to take on Superman, saying you were the right guy. What took you this long to get on a run? Was it editorial? Was it foreknowledge of the Infinite Crisis? Or was it some other factor?
I think it's a combination of things. Like I wanted to come on this arc with Kurt because I think the story is a very unique story to tell, and I wanted to follow through on what we did with Superman and Infinite Crisis.
You're bringing back Intergang, Perry with a cigar, Clark the Planet, Jimmy is a schlub, and Luthor is the businessman. At least in that first issue. Essentially status quo for the events post-Doomsday. That, coupled with the people who have been reading Supes since 1992, makes it seem like a conscious effort at a time when people thought everything was most cohesive, or at least ongoing and related. And you bring, and you being continuity nut would know that, so is this going to be just in your story, or is this a broader editorial direction for the Superman in general?
I think the direction is, Matt Idelson's our editor, and he wanted to get to a very iconic-based Superman Superman world again, where, you know, Daily Planet, Clark's at the Daily Planet, you know, Jimmy has his role, Perry has his role, Luthor's role will evolve and change as we go forward, I think, into something new and good, and Lois has her role. We made a conscious effort to try and get, you know, there's always a back to basics approach, and I guess in a way we've done that, or trying to do that. In another way, you know, there'll be a lot of new characters, a lot of, you know, some spins on characters that have been around. We want to try and flesh out Metropolis in a different light, you know, with Anthony Avenue of Tomorrow being one of it,
right.
one of the pieces there, and just kind of, we just wanted this to be a very straightforward Superman story, a very, you know, about Clark Kent and what being Superman is to him, and kind of, you know, giving us a clean slate and setting all the pieces on the stage. We're not trying to make a conscious effort to go back to anything specific except an era that we feel will work best for the kinds of stories we want to tell.
Good deal. All right, let's see here. Okay, here's one that you can't or may not be able to answer.
Okay.
Will we see the Monitor or the Anti-Monitor or the Harbinger in the Infinite Crisis? And if you don't want to be specific, a one of those or a none of those or an ambiguous answer would be cool.
Well, we already saw the Anti-Monitor in...
Right. Oh, I meant beyond their corpses. that was a specific caveat.
You will not.
Oh, okay. All right, just curious about that. Lots of theories there. Okay, Superboy of our current Earth seems very much to be the Achilles of the DC Universe. He doesn't want to fight, he's afraid to go in, and he has a heel with Luthor, you know, and the commands. So, therefore, how big is his role in the last two issues of Infinite Crisis? Is this going to be like going fighting Hector, or is this going to be more a part of the team effort kind of thing?
You'll have to read it.
Okay. So, how does one fight giant hands coming out of a gaping hole in the universe?
You'll have to see how they do it in Crisis 6. It's very difficult.
I can imagine. All right. Okay, here's one. People have said, mind you, not the writers, but people, that Infinite Crisis is a statement against the grim and gritty 80s and 90s, that this is DC's way of saying it wants to go back to simpler good versus evil. With me, I kind of see it as the opposite. I think that this is kind of a grim and gritty story, and it's calling people to task for their failures as a hero, but when a hero moves past his failures and continues to fight regardless, that's grim, that's gritty, but it's also much more real, and it's kind of what the audience expects now. So what's your take on it? Because I haven't seen anyone get to the bottom of your actual intentions with regards to a commentary on the grim and gritty Frank Miller, Alan Moore started from the 85 and continued indefinite kind of comic book thematic element, if you will.
Unfortunately, I think grim and gritty has become a dirty word.
Right.
When I don't necessarily think it should be. There's a reason Dark Knight resonates. There's a reason Watchmen resonates.
Yes.
There's a reason a lot, you know, Born Again resonates. A lot of these books are very intense, very dramatic.
Well, it's just flat out more adult.
Yeah, they're more adult. They are dark. The Ultimates is grim and gritty. There are a lot of books. I don't think you can use a paintbrush to paint the DC Universe and say it's grim and gritty. It's certainly no grim and grittier than it was when it killed people. Or when Superman even... I mean, Superman was a real hard-ass.
Oh, yeah, he used to throw people out windows.
Yeah, he used to throw people around. I think it's extremely easy, and people like to put things in a category, and I think it's much more difficult than that, and I think you can't say it's black and white. You can't say, oh, it's going to be a happy universe, or it's going to be a grim and gritty universe. The intentions that you've seen in Infinite Crisis are there. It is taking to task modern day comics and modern day heroes, and takes on modern day heroes. It's also saying that we don't go backwards. We need to make our heroes heroic.
Yes.
At the same time, that doesn't mean we're going to make all the stories. Hero fights villain wins.
Right, poster child for the 50s comic code authority.
Yeah, I have no desire to write a 1950s comic. I have no desire to write a villain who's not a true villain. Or a world that's just bubbly and bubbling for the types of stories I want to tell.
Right.
You know, some other people might want to tell those, but I think it's a very complex universe, and you want shades of everything. But as Grant Morrison said best, I think, is what we're looking to do in the DC universe is turn that contrast way up, is make the heroes that much more heroic and make the villains that much more evil. And that's something we're really trying to do, and I look forward to that. I think once Infinite Crisis is finished and over, it should be pretty clear. I think it's very clear of what we set out to do, but you basically just summed it up for me perfectly.
That's cool. See, that's the reason why I wanted to put that question in there. So often you see on these on message boards and in talkbacks that basically they try and make it a black and white issue. This is his intention. This is what's going on. And often writing is much more nuanced than that, at least I find. So
Much more nuanced. I also think that DC Universe is much too complex of a place to say it's a happy, shiny place.
Right.
It's a grim and gritty place.
Right.
Because people say, oh, the DC Universe is so dark right now. Well, yes, there are moments of darkness, but there are also moments of light. Green Lantern Rebirth certainly was not dark.
Yeah, no. Green Lantern Rebirth, if anything, was one of the most optimistic comics in years when it comes to going from complete hell of being a mass murderer to being a redemptive figure again.
Yeah, it was a story about redemption, and in a way, in my mind, Green Lantern Rebirth was always supposed to be a piece of, you know, redeeming the DC Universe. But I think the DC Universe itself... The heroes are the ones that we need to remember that the heroes are they're supposed to be people we can look up to in general in the DC Universe. That said, though, every hero in the DC Universe cannot be that hero.
Right.
Because that equals very, very boring stories.
Well, yeah, and you got to have a vigilante every now and again, even if the series
plot. You need to have heroes that have conflict. Because conflict, to me, is what makes the story interesting to write and read.
Yeah. Definitely conflict mixed with character.
Absolutely.
Pardon my voice there. Sorry. Okay, speaking of Green Lantern, the Hal Jordan Green Lantern has been pretty conspicuous on the Infinite Crisis. Will he show up more towards the end?
Yeah.
Okay. On JLU, there's a huge prevalence of characters that you've brought to the modern fray, featured pretty regularly. You got Stars and Stripes, you got Sir Terrific, and the JSAO in the background shots at the very least. How does that feel? And having written an episode, what are your general thoughts on JLU and its hiatus despite seemingly picking up its stride?
I love the cartoon. I think Bruce Tim and Dwayne McDuffie and everybody who worked on it is just an amazing job, particularly the last few years. I wish it was continuing. I don't know all the reasons why it's not, but it was nice to see those characters picked up and used in that fashion. And you know, I discovered a lot of the DC Universe characters through animation when I was a kid, and I hope that happens the same as our next generation of writers discovers a lot of DC characters through Justice League Unlimited. And but I just think it's a terrific cartoon.
Yeah, and if my 11-year-old brother's any indication, that's exactly what it's doing.
Yeah, good. Cool. And you know, when I saw Challenge of the Super Friends originally, I was like, wow, who's the guy in red?
Yeah.
Who's the guy with the wings? I didn't know anything.
What's the deal with Red Tornado? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how I got into it.
Yeah, and I suddenly really, I really gravitated toward those characters. And I just said, you know, who's the guy in green?
Yep.
you know, with the deep voice. He always, you know,
yeah, because everybody's seen Superman in a comic or two, but not everybody has necessarily seen the Martian Manhunter or a Green Lantern.
Yeah, I didn't know any of those guys.
Good deal. Given JLU and Blade, will you be focusing more on TV in the future?
No, I always have stuff on the side beyond comics because that's just, I think that's what every writer does. And I started in film and I always keep my hand in it. But I will be focusing on comics like I always do.
Good deal. Okay, I know this isn't your story or your fault, but do you know by chance if they plan on reconciling the continuity errors in Birthright with the rest of the universe with Superman, and how? I only ask because you seem to be the person restarting the momentum of the new teams, and thusly you might be privy to the editorial and or creating it in that regard.
All I can say is, you need to keep reading.
What do you Smallville, and how does that impact what's coming for Superman? Does it influence? Does its influence come into your arc?
No. I like Smallville. I think it's, you know, I haven't watched every episode, but the, you know, I've liked a lot of the ones I've seen. And, no, it doesn't influence us.
Yeah, that's my follow up. Because see, Smallville made you into a villain. Will their universe be destroyed in the Infinite Crisis for being insolent?
All right, no, but I like the episode.
All right. Okay, this is a question I always hate asking, but the people will kill me if I don't. How many more major deaths, approximately, in the crisis are barring that? How about an alluding soundbite?
No comment.
Okay. Can you clarify the 68 years ago note in Superman 650? Was it a note for the film that Lois and Clark were watching, or a note for the comic book reader, or what relevance does this have to your story? I kind of saw it as a bit of a, just an homage to the character.
No, it's not. Something crashed. Crash landed on Earth today, so we'll find out what that is.
Oh, curious.
Well, that's
cool. See, a lot of people are just really debating that, and I thought that it was a minor point, but that's cool. Now it's something bigger.
It's a major point.
Right on. Cool. That's subtle. Why has there been such a delay in the publications of the comics lately? Is it 52, or is it artists? A lot of people are really beefed about that.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Okay.
All I know is, you know, Crisis, you gotta see Crisis is 30 pages, it's a billion characters in every issue, it takes a long time to make that book.
Okay.
It takes a long time to write it, it takes even longer to draw it.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, so we're doing the best, all I can say is everyone's doing their best we can to get the books on schedule and get them as high quality as possible.
Sure, yeah, we were just more curious, you know, like a lot of people are asking, is it a scheduling thing so that 52 lines up, is it a 1 year later thing, you know, a lot of people are just curious, so it's just...
Something's not fixed because of, you know... Something's got pushed because of the schedule here and there, because of crisis, you couldn't reveal certain things, but overall everything should be, you know, we should be getting on schedule hopefully this year, the next few months.
Okay, cool.
You gotta understand, like, crisis is a lot of work that goes
into. Oh, yeah. Well, personally, you know, there are books where I question why it's late, and Infinite Crisis is not one of them. Let me put it that way, because it's like there are 100, like you said, 100 characters on every page, and meticulous plotting that affects the entire universe. But like, say, Vigilante being 3 months late is kind of weird. Okay, let's see here. Superman 650 is the beginning of the 1 year later idea for Superman, meaning 1 year after Infinite Crisis, yet Infinite Crisis is still 2 issues away from being completed. Was it always intended for Up, Up, and Away to begin before Infinite Crisis had finished, i.e., would we have had a write on Superman 650 if we had read Infinite Crisis number 7 first?
No, I know it was always supposed to come out before.
Okay, cool. Let's see. This is more continuity related. Greg Root, Rucka, assured me, and I've heard everywhere that you guys love your continuity. And from Infinite Crisis, that's obvious, at least to me. But that said, things appear to be changing continuity-wise with every punch that Superboy makes on the wall, mostly to reconcile, but as we've heard from Eddie Braganza, maybe to retcon Birthright. So this is kind of a loaded question, and I'm sorry, but are you guys changing continuity and retconning anything? I know from reading Aquaman that it seems like the Arthur that we know has slipped into some time stream, but that could all be fixed next week for all we know. Is it going to be a universe realignment, or what's the basic gist there?
Things will change.
Okay.
Because we're taking the opportunity to change them. I don't know what else I can say to that. You know, there's some certain things that we're gonna adjust. I guess we'll just have to keep reading.
Okay, cool. Little ancillary question here. Do you have any plans for a novel?
For a novel?
Yeah.
I do not.
Darn. See, that's one of the things that people are interested in. Okay, if DC and Marvel disappeared off the face of the earth, say through Alex's machinations, what kind of comic book stories would you write, given free reign but no superheroes?
Free reign but no superheroes?
Yeah.
I write television. Full time. I write comics without, like, superheroes.
Cool, so there's no chance that you've got a dramatic story brewing in the background that's just kind of human-based?
Yeah, sure, but, you know, the world attraction of the comics are superheroes, capes, costumes. The only place that spandex works on a consistent basis, you know, occasionally it'll work in a movie like Spider-Man or Superman.
Right.
On a consistent basis, you know, I can see cops on TV, I can see Westerns on TV, but, you know, spandex is...
Sure.
Comic.
Yeah, no, the reason I wrote that question, what got me thinking about it was just the way that when you take the superhero context out and you've got someone who's really, really good at writing character, it just sometimes creates something really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I did a horror book. I'd like to do something else like that.
Cool.
You know, I'd like to do something else. I mean, I like superheroes are my favorite, but I'd love to do something else at some point.
Cool. Okay, now I'm down to the lightning round and almost finished here. What books will you be on for the foreseeable future?
Green Lantern and Teen Titans.
Okay. What do you listen to when you write?
I listen to everything from, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing Up, Up, and Away, I'll listen to Superman the soundtrack.
Good deal.
From the movie, but I listen to a bunch of different things.
Cool. What writers inspire you? What historically have been the people that influenced you to do what you did?
Mark Waid, Grant Morrison, James Robinson, John Ostrander, Keith Giffen, Jeff Loeb. What other guys did I grow up reading that I really liked? Mark Wolfman, of course.
Right.
I feel like I follow in his footsteps everywhere I go.
Yeah.
With Blade and everything. Len Wein. Alan Moore. A lot of guys.
Yeah.
A lot of guys. I love comic writers. I just think, I mean, I love reading new comics too. Like when I see someone do something that Alan Heinberg does something that I could never think of it, or, you know, Brian Vaughn comes out with a book that I just think is amazing. That's my favorite thing in the world.
What cons do you plan on attending in the near future for folks who want to meet you?
I'll be at a lot of shows this year. It's one of those years where you say yes to every show and then you realize that, oh shit,
yeah,
this year.
It's going to be a pain in the butt.
I'm going to go to Supernova in Australia and New Zealand.
Okay.
I'm going to Bristol, going to Philadelphia, Chicago, San Diego, probably go to Dallas. I really want to go to Kansas City, and I hope to do that next year. And Toronto I'm going to go to this fall.
Okay.
So I'm hoping, I really want to travel a lot this year and thank everybody for supporting Infinite Crisis. There's a lot of, I've gotten so many emails and people contacting me this year and at the shows and talking to people. It's really nice to see so many people getting wrapped up in this story and in the DC Universe itself, and not necessarily like one book or anything else, but the entire experience of the DC Universe. And, you know, I really want to go and meet as many people as I can this year and just say thanks.
Okay. Good deal. Yeah, it's actually, that's one of the things that I've been really looking forward to is both meeting you and Jeff Johns in person. That'd be really cool. Or not you and Jeff Johns, Jesus. I'm sorry, I must be sick. No, you and Jeff Loeb. Because basically you, Jeff Loeb, Greg Rucka, and Chad Winnick are the guys that are really keeping me going on, making me think that my kind of story has a place in comics. It's just nice.
That's good. I really like hearing that. We work really hard and don't always hit a home run. You know, sometimes we strike out, but we try our very best, and I'm just happy to be able to do it. I'm happy to be able to work in this universe and work in comics, and I love comics, and, you know, we're really trying as hard as we can to make these books worth, you know, worth your time and money.
Yeah, well, it's working. I'm poor. Last one here is, a lot of fans are worried because basically they've taken the Superman books down to 2 books a month instead of the 4. Are there going to be any more?
Well, you got to remember, you got All-Star Superman.
Right.
Which is nice. But really, Dan always wanted to have 2 core Superman Batman books and make them the best books they could be.
Okay.
Instead of doing 4 okay books.
Oh, okay, so basically you're going to have 2 weeks Batman, 2 weeks Superman to make up your average month kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay, cool, all right, I'm taking...
At the same time, you know, you'll have All-Star Superman, All-Star Batman, Robin, and you'll have, you know, you'll have your Supergirl book, you'll have your Robin book, so if you want more, it'll be there, but really for the straight-ahead continuity Superman books, it's two books, and for the straight-ahead continuity Batman books, it's two books.
Okay. Cool.
I think that's good. Two really quality books. Look at what they're putting on Batman. Grant Morrison and Andy Kubert and Paul Dini and Rags Morales.
Sure.
What? I haven't seen talent on both books that strong at the same time. So long.
Well, and, yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, a lot of the fans would always complain because on the Superman books, there would be two that you'd like and then two that stank, or three that you'd like and one that stank, or vice versa. And the main worry is that, yeah, okay, the big names are out now, and it's really kicking ass, and it will for the next foreseeable future, but what if, like, suddenly they start falling again, and then you've only got two books and nothing to make up the difference?
That thing is, the hardest thing is nothing lasts forever.
Right.
You know, you're not going to have Grant Morrison writing Batman for 1,000 issues.
Yeah.
You know, I think the quality level of all these books is going to go up dramatically, and I hope that what happens then is that attracts quality talent to these books. So, you know, the best talent in the business will be on the main books, the Wonder Woman, the Green Lantern, the Batman, the Superman. We always have these special projects with, oh my God, they're doing this, but they have, you know, Carlos Pacheco drawing Superman. Monthly, terrific.
Right.
You know, and I think the key is to try and just keep the quality on these books as high as possible, and for the foreseeable future, that's what DC's plan is. They want their main monthly books to be the best books on the market.
Cool.
And I think they will be. I really do. Between Justice League and, you know, all these other new books, I really think we've got a shot.
I think so. Well, so far, it's pretty much a golden era. I haven't felt like this with comic books since 1992, you know, when I jumped in when I was, you know, 11 years old, going nutty about it.
Hey, folks, there's your interview. Hope you enjoy it. Wanted to thank Jeff Johns, and I also wanted to say that if you enjoyed this, we hope to do more of them in the future. Thanks. This is Neil Bailey signing out.